program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Memorial Day weekend. Minnesota Law comes your way each and every Saturday at noon. Susan Rode is in studio today. Coming up, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting. Grandparents' rights in the spotlight today. It's a fascinating topic, and we have a lot of information, and we look forward to your calls and phone calls. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be here today.
And we have a great topic, and we'll be getting to that in a moment, but we want to bring in Tom Schroyer, the host of the program, who's not in the studio today. He's very busy, though. He's hard at work. Tom, thanks so much for joining us today.
Steve, thanks. Good afternoon to you and Susan. We're here with our trial preparation team at our secret training facility getting ready for a trial that we're taking to a jury out of state here in a couple of weeks, and so can't be with you today. Sorry about that. But we are excited about the show that you and Susan are going to be putting on here, and of course our listeners don't really need an introduction to Susan, who has been on the show regularly as a guest and a co-host as well. And is, in addition to being a director of our law firm, Moss and Barnett, very active with the state court judges in the improvement of civil justice in our state, and is recognized by her peers as one of the very top super lawyers in the state. So it'll be a great program, and I'm looking forward to getting back on the air after this trial has completed in mid-June.
Well, thank you, Tom. But Steve and I have a question. What is it you're doing in that secret location today?
Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been busy sorting and sifting through a mountain of paperwork, trying to boil it down to exhibits that we can show to a jury and also to prepare our witnesses to testify while also making a variety of motions to the court and preparing our arguments. And really, it is quite a process. The case is a very large one, and we have to find ways to bring it down to earth so that we can explain it to lay people who will be asked to sit on the jury. And also, as is more and more the case these days, the court doesn't have time to give us as much time, trial days, that is, as we'd like to present the case. So we have to really boil it all out because we're each going to get 4 days to present our cases. Whereas I would say a few years ago, we would have probably taken a month to do a case like this. So, you know, we have a lot going on, and we'll be basically sprinting from here to the finish line over the next 3 weeks.
And, Tom, how many people are helping you prepare for this trial?
Well, here and in the other state where we're taking the trial out, we have, boy, in the last week alone, 10 people working on this matter. So it's quite an undertaking and a lot going on. It's really a good testament as well to why litigation is, so challenging for the parties and so expensive and time-consuming, as it does take quite a bit to get these gigantic matters, as I said, sharpened and focused so that we can communicate about them with people in the jury box.
And I think to your point, Tom, that's why we're seeing less and less trials, is because of just the huge task that it is and the cost to everyone involved.
Well, quite right. And to that point, we've had already two court-supervised mediations with a professional mediator attempting to resolve the matter. But you know, when the parties can't agree, where one feels aggrieved and the other feels as though they have no legal liability and, you know, the damages are substantial, some cases make it through the skein and end up facing off in front of a jury.
Now, Tom, you brought something up, and maybe you and Susan can address this. The amount of time you have to present your case has been scaled back. You talked a few years ago, maybe a month, to present a case of this size. That's been scaled back to a little over a week, 4 days for each side to present their case in this. Is justice being served? And does that lead us back to Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court, who is in studio, talking about the challenges our court system faces?
Well, it certainly does raise challenges and questions. On the other hand, I think that a case, virtually any case, can be streamlined if it's presented properly with enough advanced preparation. And so to that point, I envision in the not distant future that instead of bringing live witnesses in, that the parties will simply videotape testimony out of the court and then edit it down like a 60 Minutes type of show to present their, if you will, sound bites to a jury who will make a decision based on something less than full information, but enough of a record that the parties think they'll get a fair shake from impartial jurors.
You know, Steve, we're having the same issues in family court. I recently tried a case where the judge gave us each 2 hours, and I don't think that was done in a flippant way at all. The judge had really assessed what information he needed and how long he thought it would take lawyers to put it in, and limited each to 2 hours and had a clock and a counter going the whole time. So it's a little unnerving to try cases that way.
Well, and Tom, I know you're burning the holiday weekend oil in the midnight oil in preparation, so we better let you get back to work, and we want to present our topic today, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting on the program today.
All right, thanks to all, and have a great show. Bye now.
All right, thanks so much, Tom. Hard at work and a large team preparing that case that is going to trial very soon, and that's something that's a part of it. And I know Tom had other plans, but those plans had to be set aside to get ready.
And that is one of the problems of trial practice, is just the uncertainty and not knowing if you're going or not going, and having to hold out weeks and weeks of your summer sometimes just hoping you won't go, but still being prepared. So,
our program today, Grandparents' Rights. This is a big topic, and it is a very pertinent topic, isn't it?
It is a very pertinent topic. We're seeing more and more grandparents involved with their grandchildren, both as parents and wanting access. You know, we have increased divorce, increase in incident of unmarried parents, and all of those circumstances cause increased concerns about grandparents' access and grandparents serving as parents, frankly, also.
And I would assume parenting and raising a children has become more complicated over the years, that there are more people involved in this process, and there are a number of reasons for that.
Well, there are. I think if you look at some of the economic and societal factors that we have going on, if you look back 5 years ago, grandparents were terribly involved in their children's upbringing because the costs of daycare were prohibitive for a lot of families, and so grandparents have to step in and take care of younger children. Grandparents are the one that get them off to school, or are the ones that are there at the end of the day, take care of them during the summer. Now, with a lot of people losing their jobs, we're seeing grandparents removed from that role because parents are home. So I think some of it's cyclical, some of it's economic, but the concept, it takes a village, I think we certainly see more and more.
The challenges of being a grandparent, visitation and parenting. Great program for parents and grandparents today. And as always, you can call the program 651-989-9226. At 651-989-9226. We have a toll-free number as well, 866-989-9226. Or you can text the program as well, 81807. That's 81807. It is Minnesota Law. Susan Rode in studio today here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law. It comes your way each and every Saturday, and it's presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. The challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting in the spotlight today. Susan Rode joining us in studio. Tom Schroyer is hard at work preparing for a case out of state, and Tom will be joining us on the program again real soon. Now, Susan, we should jump right into it and start with grandparents and grandparents' rights. Do they have an absolute right to see their grandchildren?
Grandparents do not have an absolute right. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that parents have the absolute right to make these decisions in most instances. And in fact, our Supreme Court talks about the fundamental right of parents to make child-rearing decisions. So they found a constitutional right for parents to make these decisions. So typically, it's the parent that's going to decide.
So if there is a falling out between grandparent and their son or daughter, and they don't want to bring the grandchildren around, that's their prerogative.
It can be. In certain instances, the grandparents may have the right to petition. But if you have an intact family where mom and dad are married and still happily together or unhappily together, whatever the case may
sure.
be, the grandparents have no right in the state of Minnesota to petition for any kind of visitation. It's only in instances where the parents are divorced, where a parent has died, where the parents were not married. In those instances, there are some limited rights for grandparents to seek visitation.
And there have been attempts to change all of this. I understand the state legislature tried to create some more rights for grandparents. It didn't go very far.
It didn't go very far this year. There was a bill that we tried and sought to get grandparents to have the ability to seek visitation in intact families. And unfortunately, we've had laws struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court on that, and the bill here in Minnesota did not go far either. So.
And that can be a painful situation. If there is some sort of falling out, some sort of issue within the family, that can be very difficult. But in general, in situations like that, the courts don't want to be involved.
They don't. Courts don't want to second-guess parents' rights. They don't want to create further chaos for children. I mean, who's to judge why there's been a falling out between the grandparent and the parent? So in most instances, the court in an intact family is not going to interfere. Interesting that there's a lot more freedom to interfere if the family is not intact or the traditional family.
We had a caller who couldn't wait on hold that brought up, what about other aunts, uncles, etc.? Same situation?
Same situation. Under Minnesota law, grandparents and great-grandparents have some rights. But beyond grandparents and great-grandparents, no one's going to have standing to ask for visitation unless they fall into certain categories as de facto custodians, where, for example, they've been taking care of the children for a year or more and the children have been in their home, but only in very limited circumstances. There's no status to seek visitation simply because you are an aunt or an uncle.
Susan Rode joining us on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett here on 830-WCCO. By the way, the numbers on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Grandparents' rights in the spotlight today on the program. We invite your call or text to 81807. That's 81807. We visited a bit before the program today about this, and I was fascinated to learn that the courts and their rulings have been pretty adamant about parents' rights and protecting the decisions they make as far as it goes for their children, even in some difficult situations.
That's absolutely true, and we see that in cases of punishment, corporal punishment. There was a recent Minnesota case with how many times a parent can spank a child. You certainly see that in how difficult it is to terminate parents' rights. So those rights in general are really not tread upon very often.
Now, what about in the case of a divorce? Parents get divorced. Is it possible for grandparents in those divorce proceedings, or maybe the mom or dad can say, you know what, I want to make sure that my mom and dad, grandparents, get a chance to see the grandchildren. Does that change things?
It does. In a divorce setting, the grandparents have standing to seek their own visitation schedule. The trick to that is, to some degree, that you have the complexity of mom and dad both trying to share time with the children, and now you're going to add grandparent time on top of it. So I would say that courts are somewhat reluctant, somewhat restrictive in how much time they'd give grandparents in those circumstances, simply because you're spreading that child pretty thin if he's having to visit with grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and spread his time out or her time out.
In your experience in family law, have you seen that? Is that fairly typical where grandparents or a party in a divorce will want to make sure that there is some guarantee that way?
Typically what happens is the grandparents' time will piggyback on with the parents' time.
Sure.
And so mom and dad have vacation time, and that's the time that they'll spend, or okay, holidays and that kind of thing. So typically it's not an issue. Sometimes it becomes an issue if the parent isn't very involved, and sometimes it becomes an issue in the reverse, where the parents don't want the children to see one grandparent for some reason, and that could be incapacity or chemical dependency or whatever.
And that's something that the court would decide? And
the court will decide. Courts can order that grandparents cannot see their grandchildren. One of the classic cases of that is where the grandparents are bad-mouthing the other parent and just cannot restrain themselves from saying bad things about the other parent. And the court can then restrict that grandparent's access to the child.
Our phone number on the show is 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. You can text the show as well. Brand new feature, 81807. That's 81807. We'll try to get to all your questions and comments here on Minnesota Law. Let's go to Deidre in Plymouth. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Deidre.
Hi there. I have a question concerning we lost our daughter 5 years ago in Florida, and kind of mysterious circumstances, we think her husband killed her. And she has had three children, and we have been trying to see them for 5 years and have not been allowed to have any contact with them. He won't answer our phone calls. Our children, we write to him, they won't answer. He has basically isolated the boys from us. And I just want to know if there's any rights that we have.
Well, in Minnesota, you would certainly have rights, Deidre. And that would be the right to that is one of the specific cases where grandparents do have rights to petition for visitation with the children. And you would do that through the court system here. I'm not familiar with Florida law on that subject. And if the children are living in Florida, you're going to need to petition in Florida. So I would say consult with an attorney in Florida. But at least in Minnesota, I know you would definitely have rights for that.
All right. We appreciate the call. Tough circumstance. We'll have more. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. Susan Rowe joining us in studio today. Grandparents' rights in the spotlight. The challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting. Your calls and texts are welcome. We have a brief news and weather update coming up next on 830 WCCO. Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law each and every Saturday at noon here on News Radio, 830 WCCO Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Phone numbers on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Susan Rowe, who's joining us in studio today, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting. You can also text the studio as well at 81807. That's 81807. We talked earlier that grandparents don't have an absolute right to see their grandchildren, and there are some circumstances where they can, where the courts could be involved and they could get the right to see. Let's talk a little bit more about that, and specifically, what are those circumstances?
You know, one of the big circumstances goes back to our caller, and that is in the event of a parent, death of a parent. And if your son or daughter dies, then under our law, you certainly can petition for visitation with your grandchildren, and also great-grandparents can petition for visitation. And at that point, if you're not reaching agreement with the surviving parent, then you'd petition the court, and the court would look at, is the visitation in the best interest of the children? Will it interfere with the parent-child relationship? In other words, are you speaking ill of the other parent, or was there conflict prior to the death? And then finally, they're going to look at how much contact the grandparents had with the child before the death and how the grandparents are going to arrange that contact going forward. So still some planning and some thoughtfulness. Certainly the court's still looking at what's best for the child, but at least at this point, the grandparents do have some rights to petition the court.
Now, if a grandparent doesn't fit one of these categories we talked about, there's divorce, there's death, where they would like that, is there any other recourse? Is there anything grandparents can do to say, look, I really just want to see occasionally my grandchildren? What do they do?
Well, if it is, again, if it's an intact family, there's nothing you can do. In some instances, though, we have where there has been divorce, or in many instances where the parents have not been married, again, you're going to have the same ability that you did before.
Sure.
in instances where it's a family dynamic, I always try and encourage people to say, try some family counseling, try some dialogue with to see why it is that this is a difficult issue. But it's very, very difficult to move forward if you don't fit one of these very narrow exceptions. And that's what the Supreme Court has required of our states, is that we have narrow exceptions where grandparents can see children, because that protects the rights of the parents to rear their children.
An issue, and it's been an issue for a long time, and it seems to be more prevalent today than it was maybe a generation ago, is that more grandparents are taking over the role of the parent, and there are a number of circumstances for that. There could be criminal problems, drug or alcohol abuse problems. That is a big issue, and I'm sure it's something in your practice you deal with a fair amount.
We do. This is an area that's dealt with a great deal, and I'm seeing more and more of it over the years as grandparents become parents. And it can be for any number of reasons. One of the most typical ones is parents who have, they thought, raised their children, and their daughter is graduating from high school or college and all of a sudden has a child and isn't in a position to take care of that child, and the grandparents end up becoming the parents and raising another generation of children, which is a daunting task if you thought you were going to be an empty nester and all of a sudden.
Now, what about that circumstance? In the eyes of the court, in the eyes of the state, if you will, does that grandparent who helps raise that child have parental rights going forward? How does all of that work? What if a grandparent and parent have a falling out at some point and the daughter takes the child and they run off? Are there rights in that situation?
There can be rights.
Okay.
It depends on the circumstances again. If the grandparents have been raising the child, if the child has been in their house and the mother has been gone for some period
of time.
Food and shelter, sure. Providing the care. In those instances, if mom suddenly comes in and runs, grandma and grandpa may have some rights as an interested third party or de facto custodians to petition the court for custody. Again, a tough, tough burden under our law, but at least having had the child and raised the child may create some circumstances where they can petition for ongoing custody.
Is there a situation where grandparents can get involved if they're observing a situation where mom and dad are both are abusing alcohol or drugs or in a situation that's potentially harmful? What can grandparents do in that situation?
There's several things that grandparents can do in that situation. One thing they can do is go and look, file a petition with the county. They can call Child Protective Services and file a complaint. Now, that's very divisive. It's very invasive to the family. And it isn't necessarily going to ensure that the grandparents have the children, although it may protect the children if that's your first goal. So there are circumstances under which you would simply call Child Protective Services and report the circumstance. If, in fact, the children are in danger, the county will come in and make a determination that these are children in need of protection, and then the matter will be in juvenile court, and the grandparents may intervene and participate in that and seek custody in that instance.
But at that point in time, it's up to the court and Child Protective Services to make the ultimate decision on where those children end up.
Exactly. That is the most drastic remedy and the one where you will have lost the most control if you're the grandparent. Another instance would be where you would simply speak with the children, ask for some intervention in terms of therapy, and try and work out an informal agreement. If you can get the parents to agree to a temporary or a permanent change of custody of the grandchildren, then our law has many different ways you can do that, many different legal ways you can organize your rights, which is critical, by the way, for the grandparents.
It would seem to me the most typical situation would be some sort of addiction. Is that typical, if you will? Is that where grandparents would get involved?
It is one of the most pressing cases where grandparents get involved. The other one would be mental illness, where a parent suffers from serious depression and can't maintain the home and the kids are living in a garbage house. That would be the second. And the third, you know, mental illness and physical abuse, where kids are being physically harmed. So those are the most pressing instances we have of that kind of thing. And then it's a question of how are you going to work with this parent who can't parent to try and establish some legal status with the grandparents.
Susan Rode in studio. Once again, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting in the spotlight today at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. You can text the studio as well, 81807. That's 81807. We go to Terry in Andover. Terry, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I do mediation for a nonprofit in Anoka, and we do family and shared parenting mediation. And one thing I would say is it sometimes helps for the grandparent to ask the parents, you know, if you've got this intact family and the grandparents really have no rights, they can ask for the parents to go to mediation where, you know, maybe they can have their voices heard and, you know, it's cheaper and than going to the courts, and maybe it's a first step.
You know, Terry, I totally agree with you, and I would say that going to the court should be the last step because it by that time you've created such division between the parents and the grandparents. Even if you do have visitation as a grandparent, it's not likely to be a great setting. Of course, instances of neglect are going to be more pressing and different, but certainly in those intact families, too, some mediation and a chance to talk about everyone's feelings is really critical to trying to productively solve those problems so that children have the best of everyone going forward.
What about a grandparent, for whatever the circumstances, takes over the parenting of a child or multiple children? Is it important that they become a legal guardian? And how does that process work?
It's really important that they establish some legal status because if the parent is gone, the grandparent's going to have to sign the children up for school, get medical insurance for the children, be able to make medical decisions. And if you as the grandparent are the legal custodian in some form and have a court order, then you are going to be able to put those children on your medical insurance and to be able to provide all of those important decisions for them. There's lots of different ways that can come about, however. We have lots of ways we can do that for you.
How complicated is that? If a grandparent finds himself in that situation, or another family member for that matter, doesn't necessarily have to be a grandparent, could be an aunt or uncle, whatever. How do they do that? How does that work?
Well, if everyone's in agreement, it can operate very simply.
Okay.
You can either agree that the aunt and uncle or the grandparent are going to be what we call standby custodians. For example, if a parent, if there's only one parent in the picture and that parent has a terminal illness, then one thing you can do is say, upon my death, this person will be the custodian of my children. And then that order would automatically go into place upon petition to the court after the death or after the incapacitation, or after going to prison or going into the armed services or whatever the case may be. Another thing you can do is agree to a temporary custody situation where grandparents would have custody for a temporary period. You can agree to shared custody with the parents so you can make those decisions. There are other instances where we deal with it in terms of what we would call a permanent grant of custody to the other parent. So there's lots of different ways to come at it. You can do a custody consent decree, which is another way to come at it. Or you can designate someone to have the rights of a custodian without giving up legal custody. In other words, I can designate you to make the decisions for my children on school and medical without actually giving up my custody of my children.
So a parent could say, look, I've got a problem. I have a problem with drugs or alcohol. I realize that. I want to get better, and I'm going into treatment. I'm going to get better. Would that be a circumstance? It seems to me that sort of temporary situation might pay dividends.
It would be, and in fact, that's one of the very best situations where grandparents can do this in a cooperative way and step in and say, we're going to substitute temporarily. You're not going to give up your rights and totally, and once you're on your feet, then we'll revisit the situation.
And it might create a great situation and some stability for the children because, as we pointed out throughout the program, ultimately, the courts are concerned about the well-being of the children.
They are. And one of the most difficult things we have is where grandparents have really been the only stable factor in these children's lives, maybe since the day they were born. And mom or dad or both tend to flip in and out of the child's life and create instability. And in those instances, looking at when do you err on the side of the grandparents and the stability that they may provide.
We're going to take a break. We have Hazel in Ridgefield with a comment on the program today. We have time as well. If you have a question or a comment for Susan Rode, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Burnett. Tom Schroyer is out today preparing for a big case out of state. Susan Rode joining us in studio today. Grandparent rights, the challenges of being a grandparent, visitation, and parenting. We appreciate the calls on the program today. Lisa in East Bethel, you're on the air with Susan Rode. Hello.
Hi. I'm not a grandparent, but I have my niece. I'm her legal guardian. And she'll be 18 in January. And I was just wondering, how will that work for, like, college once we're done with that? What are they going to still need my or use my income? You know, things like that. What happens after she's 18?
Boy, it's a great question, Lisa. I'm not sure I know the answer to it right off the top of my head. I would guess that they would use your income, being the legal guardian and having the duty of support and providing for her. My guesstimate is that they would look at your income. I would assume, though, that the college counselor, the counselors at the school would be able to answer that for you, or otherwise one of the federal funding websites would. But I would imagine it would be the case, yes.
All right, Lisa, we appreciate the call, and good luck with that. The thing we talked about, if grandparents or others are concerned, other family members, about a situation involving parents and children and a bad situation for the children, what can people do? And if they want to go through the court system, it may take a while.
Yeah, the court system is tough for several reasons. Number one, it's very expensive. This is expensive litigation. It makes Tom's litigation he's working on look slight because it's lengthy. I think you can expect at least up to a year. The chances are you're going to have to ask for various experts to be involved to determine what's best for the children. Courts typically don't make those decisions on their own. They want to hear from some expert about what would be best for the children. You may be fighting your children in court, which is horrible. You also may be fighting the other grandparents. In instances where neither parent is involved, I have had instances where the grandparents are both litigating and both seeking custody of the children. So those are tough, tough circumstances. It forces you to say things about the other person that are very negative, but certainly it occurs. And, you know, be prepared for the cost of it. Interestingly, Steve, we also see cases, and it certainly is open to abuse, where grandparents who are very wealthy will start litigation to try and take custody of the children or to force visitation. And in fact, the child or the parent of the child does not have the money to fight the litigation at the same level and may in fact be litigated out of parentage. Those are very unfortunate situations, but we do see those from time to time where one side certainly has the better money to fight the case.
So it is difficult if you're going to get involved in the courts. Are there other resources that people can use? We had mentioned child protection earlier. If there is a grandparent or another family member that's very concerned about the situation, what can they do?
You know, there's a great website and organization called Minnesota Kinship Caregiver Association, and they're at www.mkca.org, and I'll make sure we have a link to them for everyone on our website. If you go on their website, they have great great forms that you can fill out for designating temporary custodians. They have lots of resources listed. They have a great synopsis of all your rights and the ways you can come at getting grandparent visitation. So I highly recommend that website.
Well, Susan, the hour went very quickly today. A great topic. Great to see you. Enjoy the remainder of your holiday weekend.
I will.
Once again, that website, moss-barnett.com. The link to that website Susan outlined will be available there, as will today's program. Each and every program also available online at e3owcco.com. Once again, Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. Thanks to Susan Rowe. I'm Steve Thompson. Enjoy your day.